Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is February 1st, and we are in Yeshayahu. We're in Perek Yud, Chapter 10. So the Pasuk says, Hoy hachokakim chikike oven umechatvim amol kitevu. Woe to those who are plotting plots of evil or engraving engravings of evil, of sins, and they write with effort. They write these things that are averus, things that are not good. Lehatos midin dalim. Their goal is to pervert the judgment of the poor. Veligzol mishpat aniye ami, and to steal using judgment against the poor people of my nation. Lios amonos shlalam, that widows should be their spoils. Ves yesomim yovozu, and they will also take the spoils away from the orphans. So we've seen this before throughout Navi, that there is a general issue of people stealing from, taking advantage of the poor. So that apparently was going on as well. And the Navi says, "Umatasu liyom pekuda, what will you do on the day when there is reckoning? Ulishoa mimerchak tavo, and destruction will come from afar. Al mi tanusu leezra, upon whom will you run for help? Va'ana sazvu chavodchem, where will you leave your honor? How are you going to find your money when the day of reckoning comes and you are punished? Bilti chara tachas asir, v'sachas harugim yipolu. Instead of crouching in your place, you will be locked up. Asir means locked up. V'sachas harugim yipolu, and in the place of those who were killed, they will fall. So there's going to be severe punishment for all these people. They'll be locked up, they'll be killed, these people who are stealing from the poor. B'chol zos lo shava po, and now we have this same refrain we've had for a while in the last pasuk. We had this repeated a few times. With all those, his anger has not returned, not gone away. V'od yado netuya, his hand is still outstretched. So that continues the same theme as the previous perek in enumerating the punishment of the Jewish people for their behavior. But now we'll discuss Ashur. Ashur is Assyria, and that is the king Sancheriv is the king over Ashur. And the pasuk tells us, "Hoy Ashur shevet api." Ashur is the staff of my anger. Now, Hashem uses Ashur to punish the Jews. Umatehu v'yadam zami, and the staff that is in their hands is my anger. Begoy chaneif ashalchenu, in the nation the flattering nation that flatters, I will send them. In other words, the Jews were acting with flattery. I will send Ashur against them. V'alam evrosiat savenu, and I'm in the nation of my anger, I will command him. Lishlol shalol v'lavoz baz, various words for taking spoils, taking money. Ule sumo mirmas kechomer chutzos, and to make them trampled like the streets are trampled outside. That's what's going to happen. They're going to do to the Jewish people. Now here's the thing, that Hashem is sending Sancheriv as a way of punishing the northern kingdom, the Jewish people. But rather than understand that he, Sancheriv, is simply a tool in the hands of Hashem, he's going to attribute his success to his own power. So the pasuk says, "Vehu lochein yedameh." He will not see it that way. Ulevavo lochein yachshov, and his heart will not think that way. Kila hashmid bilvavo. In his heart, he wants to destroy. Ulahachris goyim lo ma'at. And he wants to cut off nations, not a little bit. He wants to be powerful and to cut off many nations. Ki yomar, for he will say, halo sarai yachtov melachim. He will say that, I'm in control of many kings, because Hashem is going to make Sancheirev so powerful that he's going to control most of the world. And he will have kings under his control, and that he therefore will feel that it's his power. Halo kechar kemish kalno, imlo karpad chamas, imlo chedamesek shomron. Just like Karmish is kalno, these are all places. If Arpad is not like Hamas, and if Damesek is not like Shomron. In other words, I'm in control of all these places. Shomron is, of course, the capital of the Northern Kingdom. But I'm in control of all these places. And just like I'm in control of some of them, I'll be in control of all of them. And he sees himself as being all-powerful. Kasha Matza Yadi Lemamlechos Ha'elil. Just like I have found my hand meaning I have power over, I have authority over the kingdoms of the Elil. Elil is a form of idolatry. So in other words, I control them. Ufsilehem miyushalayim mishomron. And also, I have found their idols from Yerushalayim and Shomron. Chazal tell us that the idols that the Jews had made and were worshipping had found their way, they had been sold and transported to other places as well. And he's saying, I have already found their idols in other places, I have control over their idols, I will take control of them as well. Just as I, Sancheirev, have done to Shomron and to its gods, to its idols, so I will do to Yerushalayim and to its idols. Now, although there was some idolatry going on in Yerushalayim as well, but Yerushalayim was primarily populated by tzaddikim, and Yerushalayim was not going to be given over to Sancheirev. That was not Hashem's plan. But Sancheirev believes that he can do whatever he wants. V'hayana will be Kiyavatsa Hashem es kol ma'aseu, when Hashem will yivatsa. When the Mitzvah Sinu translates that word as to complete. When Hashem will complete all of his actions, alright. When Hashem will complete his actions, in other words, Hashem is going to complete what he had originally planned for Sancheirev, which is to conquer the northern kingdom, Bahartzion uYerushalayim, then on Hartzion uYerushalayim, Efkod al pri godel levav melech Ashur, I will take retribution, I will take reckoning on the fruits of the growth, meaning of the rising up of the heart of the king of Ashur, Valtiferis Rumeinov, and on the lifting up of his eyes, that he is so arrogant. I'm going to have a reckoning for him when he gets to Hartzion and Yerushalayim. So once he comes and he wants to capture Yerushalayim, he's going to be destroyed. The Gemara tells us as follows. Sancheirev conquered the entire known world, which means he had control over the entire known world, with the exception of Yerushalayim. When he was ready to attack the Jewish people, he was afraid. He was afraid because the Jews have a powerful God. He was afraid. But because it was being said over, that the Nevi'im were saying that Hashem is going to bring punishment to the Jews. So that gave him confidence to attack. And he did. But they only meant the northern kingdom. Once he turns his attention to the southern kingdom, he was overstepping his bounds. And Hashem says, once he tries to get to Yerushalayim, then I'm going to punish him because he has no business doing that. He's going further than I empowered him to do. So the pasuk says in pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki Amar, for he, Sanherib said, Bechach Yadi Asisi, I did this with the strength of my hand, Uvechach Masi, and with my wisdom, Ki Nivunosi, because I have been wise. V'asir givulo samim, and I have captured or broken forth the boundaries of nations. Va'asudosehem shoshesi, and their treasures I've taken. Va'orid kabir yoshvim, and I have enslaved with strength those who dwell there. Now these three words, v'asir givulos amim, are very, very significant words. Let's see if we can get a more accurate or more precise translation for those words. Asir usually means to take captive. In this context, I just want to get a precise translation for that word because of how Chazal use it. Right. See, the translation in the Targum is, I have exiled the nations. That's the way it's translated in the Targum. I'm just trying to see how we can precisely arrive at that translation from the word asir. Not so easy to, let's see.
My translation,
yeah,
says, in that I have removed the bounds of the people.
Okay, I've removed, like to be maser, to remove, the boundaries. Okay, that's good. Thank you. So I have removed the boundaries of the nations. So Chazal tell us that Sanherib did something that no one had done before him. And because of Sanherib, we find ourselves in a different reality than before. I mean, in other words, you can look at history as pre-Sanherib and post-Sanherib. Even though Sanherib does not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but there is a significant change that happens. And that is, Sanherib was mevalbel es kol ha'umos. He mixed up all the nations. It used to be before Sanherib that ethnically, people were always with their own type. Now, what that means is that it's not just what country you're from, but what people you're from. And even though today ethnicity is a significant thing, but it's nothing like it used to be. Because what used to be is that nations all came from the same family. That's how nations developed. Mitzrayim was a person. There was a man named Mitzrayim. His children, he had many, many, many offspring. They developed a country. Same thing with the Kasdim. The Kasdim who are in Bavel, they were a family that developed into a country. And it's true, like the Persians, Paras, same thing. And they were everybody was connected to their particular country because they were all family in that country. They may have been second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh cousins, but they're all of the same. Just like us. Just like Israel, we're all related because we all come from the same place. That is what used to be. Sanherib was mevalbel es kol ha'umos. He didn't just conquer a nation and subjugate the nation. He took the nation and mixed up the people with other people. He scattered everybody all over the place and made and mixed up all of the nations. So what that does is it creates a reality in which people form connections with each other based on where they live, the country they're in, but they're not necessarily ethnically connected. Not necessarily. Now we know that in the United States, but even before the United States, not every Frenchman came from the same family. Not every Russian came from the same family. That it just doesn't work that way anymore. There are, sometimes you still see ethnicity that where people from the same family are together, but it's not as rigid as it was before Sanherib. Halachically, this creates a difference because we know that there are certain nations that are barred from marrying into the Jewish people. We know Ammon, Moab, that their men, if they convert, cannot marry a woman who was born Jewish. They are barred from marrying into the Jewish people. A man from Ammon, a man from Moab. The Gemara already says, the Mishnah already says, that if a man from the country of Moab converts, he's allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl, as is a man from the man of from the country of Ammon. Why? Because just because they live in the country of Moab or the country of Ammon does not necessarily mean they are Moavi or Ammoni. Because Sancheirev was Mevalbel Eskol HaUmos. He mixed everybody up. So they may physically live in that country, but that doesn't mean they're ethnically really from that country. And therefore, halachically, you follow the rule of Rov, of majority, and Rov people, Rov men, are not from Moab, and not from Ammon. And therefore, if a man converts, we can presume he's not an Ammoni, not a Moavi, and could marry a regular, a woman who was born Jewish. So that affects the halacha because of what Sancheirev did. In theory, it would be a same issue with the country of Amalek. Not knowing who is from Amalek and who is not from Amalek, the same issue, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of wiping out Amalek, becomes a much more difficult mitzvah to do, not knowing who they are. And this is something which is attributed to Sancheirev. And this seems to have been his strategy, that by mixing everybody up, he was able to consolidate his power, and that it was more difficult for people to gather together and fight him because they were all mixed up and it wasn't, that people weren't naturally connected to each other. So that is what he did. It comes from these words, V'asir gvulo samim, I removed the boundaries of nations, and that he was mevalbel eskol ha'umos. So that is because he controlled the whole world with the exception of Yerushalayim. Yud Dalet 14, Vatimtza chakein yadi lechel ha'amim, and it was found like a nest, my hand, for the wealth of the nations. Vechesof bitzim azuvos, like gathering forsaken eggs. In other words, I had an easy time gathering all their wealth. Kol ha'aretz ani asafti, all the land I gathered. V'lohaya no deid kanaf, there was no wing that was able to get away from me. And no mouth opened up and chirped. In other words, nobody was able to stop me. Nobody said boo. I was able to take whatever I wanted. So Hashem says to Sancheirev, or about Sancheirev, Hayispa'er hagarzen ala chotzeif bo, is the axe, does the axe glorify itself over the one who is wielding it? Does the axe say, oh, I am so powerful? Does he say to the one wielding it, I'm more powerful than you? The axe has no power other than what the person who's wielding it gives it power. Im yisgadel ha-mashor al-minifo, will the mashor, which is some sort of a weapon that is used to swing at somebody. So is the mashor, is it able to be, exalt itself over the one who is waving it? Ki'anif shevet es merimav, like, it would be as if a staff were waving the one who lifts it. Ki'arim mate lo eitz, like lifting a staff, that it's not the tree that's doing it, it's the person that's doing it. It's not the staff, it's not the wood of the staff that's lifting itself, it's being lifted by a person. So the yes, these weapons have power, but they only have power because there's an arm that's wielding it. And that arm is the real power, not the weapon. Lachin, therefore, Yishalach ha'adon Hashem tzvakos b'mishmanav razon. Hashem will send in his mishmanav, comes from the word shamein, which means like plenty and having so much abundance. Hashem will send razon. Razon means lean. He's going to send a famine. V'sachas kvodo, and in place of his honor, yekad yekod kikod ish. There will be a burning that will burn like the burning of a fire. This is a reference to the way that Sanherib's army is going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed, as we mentioned last time, that Hashem is going to send Gavriel HaMalach, who's going to burn up almost the entire army, well over a million soldiers, in one night, the night of Pesach. He's going to burn them all up. There is a machlokas in the Gemara how to read this, Vesachas Kvodo. One opinion is that it means underneath his honor, which means the honor is referring to their clothing, and the burning will take place under the clothing. In other words, that a fire came, that Gavriel brought from Hashem, a fire came and burned up all the bodies, but did not burn the clothing. So that a million soldiers, over a million soldiers, were dead, but it was ashes under the clothing. The clothing didn't burn. The clothing remained unscathed. That's one way to read it. Another opinion is, no, that it means not under, but rather in place of. That in place of his honor, there will be a burning. According to that opinion, everything was burned. The people were burned, the clothing was burned, it was like a regular fire that burned them up. And the third opinion is, Besachas Kvodo, under his honor, the honor here refers to the people, and the burning took place under the people, which means inside the people, like we mentioned last time, like the sons of Aaron, the fire went inside the bodies and burned them from the inside, but the bodies remained intact along with the clothing. So that there are three opinions. Either it was a regular burning, everything just burned up, or the bodies burned but not the clothing, or not even the bodies burned, but the fire went inside the people and they were killed from the inside, but the bodies were intact. As we mentioned last time, the question was asked last time about why Hashem would do it that way, and I imagine that it is in order to show the miracle that they were killed even though the bodies remained intact or the clothing remained intact. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, V'haya or Yisrael le'esh, and the light of Yisrael will be as fire, u'kedoshav le'lehava, and the sanctified ones of Yisrael will be like a flame, uva'ara v'achla shiso u'shmiro b'yom echad, and it will consume and it will burn all of the officers and generals in one day. They're all going to be burned up. Uchvod yaro v'charmilo, and the kavod of his, now yaro literally means his forest, and Carmelo also means like a place of vegetation. It's referring to all the soldiers. Just like a forest has a bunch of trees, it's referring to all the soldiers. Minefesh v'ad basar yichale, from soul to flesh it will consume. V'haya kimsos no seis, it will be like, Rashi says kimsos no seis means like when things deteriorate and the worms eat it and it becomes like rot. So that's what's going to happen. Kimsos no seis, it'll be like it'll be consumed to little tiny pieces. Ushaar eitz yaro, and the remainder of the trees of his forest, mispar yiyu, they will be a small number. Vinar yichtevim, even a child could write them. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? What's a number that even a child knows? So the Gemara says, the number 10. Because you have 10 fingers, even a child knows how to count to 10. So of all those million soldiers, there will be 10, which is what a child can write. Now, the truth is there are different opinions in the Gemara, whether it's 10 or 9 or 14. The smallest number is 5. But whatever it is, we're talking about a very small number that even a child is able to handle. That's the amount of soldiers that will be left. We've talked about this before, that those 5 soldiers, who are the 5 soldiers, will be left. One is Sanherib himself, then his 2 sons, that's 3, And Nebuchadnezzar, who at this time is a soldier in the army of Sancheriv, he's not yet the king of Babel, and Nebuzaradan, who is also a soldier in the army of Sancheriv, he's not yet the chief butcher of Nebuchadnezzar. That will come later. V'yayabayomahu, and it will be on that day. Lo Yosef od Shar Yisrael ufleitas beis Yaakov lihisha'in amakehu. The remainder of Yisrael and the remnant of Beis Yaakov will no longer rely on the one who is striking them. Meaning we're not going to rely on foreign nations to help us. V'nishan al Hashem, we will rely only on Hashem, Kedosh Yisrael, the sanctified one of Yisrael, be'emes, in truth. Shar Yashuv Shar Yaakov El Kel Gibar. The remnant will return, the remnant of Yaakov, to the powerful Hashem. Kim Yiye Amcha Yisrael Kechol Hayam, because if all of your nation Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea, which is there will be so many of us, Shar Yashuv Bo, the remnant will return to Hashem. In other words, the salvation will come because of those few great tzaddikim. Ki layon charutz shotev tzedakah. Ki layon charutz. You see, I struggle with all the words in this perek. Ki layon charutz. Charutz means to be cut. Dina, you want to tell me what you have on that? Kilayon Charutz? Shotev Tzedaka means like
Which verse are you in?
In Chavez 22. The last four words.
Of them shall return, the destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. Kilayon Charutz, that's what was bothering me. It means the destruction, which was decreed, but rather than have the, I didn't understand how it went. Rather than having that destruction, Shotev Tzedaka, there'll be a, what is this, overwhelmed? It means
overflow.
It's a torrent. Shotev is a torrent of righteousness. So that will replace the decree of destruction will be overrun with this torrent of righteousness. Ki chala v'necheratza, for it is ended, meaning that all the bad is ended. Hashem Elokim Tzvakos Oseh Bekerav Kol Haaretz. Hashem is doing in the midst of land. He's going to destroy all of the evil. Lachin kamar Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. Therefore, so says Hashem. Al tira ami Yoshev Tzion me'ashur. My nation, do not be afraid. Those who are dwelling in Sion from Ashur. Don't be worried about Ashur, about Sancheriv. You'll be saved. Bashevet Yakeka, he will strike you with the staff. Umateu Yisa Alecha, and he will lift up his staff against you. Biderech Mitzrayim, in the way of Egypt, the same way the Egyptians did. He will do that, but it won't matter. He will be destroyed. Ki od ma'at mizar, because there's just a little bit of time, a little bit longer. V'chala zam, and the anger will end. V'api al tavli sam, and my anger will turn to the way they're behaving, their tevel, which means their abominations, and I will destroy them. V'orer olav Hashem tzvakos shot, and Hashem will arouse against them punishment, staff, kimakas Midyan bitsur orev, the way Midyan was struck down in Sur Orev, that is a reference to a battle that took place in the book of Shoftim, where Midyan was destroyed in Sur Orev. Umateu al Hayam, the same way that Hashem was destroyed on the sea, meaning a reference to this week's parsha, the destruction of the Egyptians. Unisao b'derech Mitzrayim, and lift him in the way of Mitzrayim. In other words, he's going to be destroyed the same way the Egyptians were destroyed. V'hayah b'yom ahu will be on that day. Yasur su balo me'al shivtecha. That the pressure he has, his yoke, his strength will be removed from on your shoulders. V'ulo me'al tzavarecha, and his yoke from on your neck. V'chubal ol mipnei shaman. And the ol, the yoke, will be broken because of oil. Say Chazal. Because of the oil that was burning in the Bate Midrashos and the Bate Knesios, in the Beis Medrashes and in the Shuls, because of the oil that was burning, that is what destroys the yoke of Sancheriv. We said this before, that in Chizkiyahu's time, he made it a mandate of his kingdom that everybody is going to learn Torah, which they did, and because everybody was studying Torah, they burned the midnight oil in learning Torah. That is what destroyed Sancheriv. We'll read a little bit further, but before we do that, let's just point out that it's very important to know this and to be aware of it, but not just to be aware of it, but to really feel it. And that is that it's not hyperbole that the study of Torah protects us. And you have to be very aware of that, that it is the truth. That ultimately what protects the Jewish people is the study of Torah. The fact that there is Torah being studied creates a shmira, a protection for the Jewish people. And everything else is only a hishtadlus, is only we have to put in human effort to protect ourselves. So everything else that we do for protection, whether it is having security, whether it is having security systems, whatever we have in our homes and in our shuls for protection, gates and locks and things like that, and similarly in Eretz Yisrael to have a standing army, all these things are only hishtadlus. Those are because you have to put in human effort. But what is actually protecting the Jewish people? It is the study of Torah. That is ultimately what protects us all the time. And here, because the entire nation was studying Torah, there were no exceptions. As the Gemara says, they checked from Dan until Be'er Sheva, and every single man, woman, and child knew the intricate laws of Tumah and Tahara. So there were no exceptions. Then there was no need for an army. There was no need for any of the things that we consider to be quote-unquote normal steps for protection. They didn't need that, because everybody was studying Torah. And it was not necessary to have anything but that. That was all that was needed. And instead of human beings fighting against this massive army, Hashem sent the Malach Gavriel, who took care of it in one fell swoop. Now, Sancheriv, the Gemara tells us, as we said, was afraid to attack. And he was finally convinced, and now he wanted to attack Yerushalayim. He was wavering back and forth about attacking Yerushalayim, and his stargazers told him that if you attack on the 14th of Nisan, you will win. The 14th of Nisan is Erev Pesach, and if you attack on the 14th of Nisan, we see in the stars that you will win the war. You will beat Yerushalayim. The thing is, they told him this on the 13th of Nisan, which was the day before. And he had a massive army, as you can imagine. Moving an army of that size is no small feat. And the Gemara tells us that he was a 10-day journey away from Yerushalayim when he found this out. So he whipped everybody up into a frenzy, and they dashed for Yerushalayim. And of course Hashem helped him, and he made the 10-day journey with a larger-than-million-man army in one day. And he traveled over 10 stops, 10 travels, which are now enumerated in this pasuk, in the next few psukim. Now, we're going to have actually 13 places that are enumerated. The Gemara asks this question, that isn't it 13, not 10? And the Gemara explains that three of them are not actually places, but they're a reference to something else. So first we're going to read all 13 places, and then we'll explain what those three exceptions are. So the pasuk says, Baal Ayas, he came to Ayas, that's one. Over b'Migron, he passed Migron, that's two. L'Michmash Yafgid Kalev, to Michmash he put his utensils, that's three. Avru Mabara, those are two different places, Avru and Mabara. Geva Malon Lanu, In Geva, they rested, or they rested. Harda Harama, Harama was trembled. The people in Rama trembled because this massive army came through. Givas Shol Nasa, the people living in Givas Shol ran away. That's eight. Tzali Kolech Basgalim. Basgalim should give forth your voice. That's nine. Hakshivi Laisha. Laish should listen. That's ten. Aniyah Anasos. Anasos should call out. That's 11. Nadada Madmena. Madmena shook. That's 12. Yoshvei HaGevim Heizu. Those who dwell in Gevim, they also tremble. They were scared. Those are your 13. So it's really 10. So the Gemara tells us that Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, are not actually the travels of Sancheirev. Rather, they are the statement of the Navi. What is the statement of the Navi? The statement of the Navi is like this. Tzali Kolech Bas Galim. Give forth your voice, the daughter of the waves. What does that mean, the waves? You, the daughter of the waves, you Jewish people, who are the daughter of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who performed mitzvahs like the waves of the sea, you have nothing to worry about. Hakshivi, don't worry about Sancheirev. He's not going to hurt you. You will defeat him. He will be defeated. Rather, do you know who you should be afraid of? Hakshivi Laisha. Listen to the lion. Laish is one of the terms for a lion. Be concerned about the lion. The lion is Nebuchadnezzar, who more than 100 years from where we are right now will come and conquer Yerushalayim. Him you should be afraid of. Aniyah Anasos. And we know that Yirmiyahu, who comes from Anasos, will call out and say prophecy about this lion, about Nebuchadnezzar, because Yirmiyahu will live at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So this pasuk is really a premonition about what's going to happen in the destruction of Sancheirev and ultimately the conquering of Nebuchadnezzar of Yerushalayim. So they get to Yerushalayim in this very quick run to Yerushalayim, and they get there, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Od Hayom, while it was still daytime, Benov La'amod, they were already in Nov. Nov is a small town just outside Yerushalayim. And while it was still day, which means it was still the 14th of Nisan, Pesach had not yet started, they got to Nov. And that's what he was hoping to do. Because now, historic Israel said, if you attack on the 14th, you will be successful, you will win the war, you will destroy Yerushalayim. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shakom yavro.
Amen.
With this Pasuk Lamed Beis, we begin the Haftorah that is read on the 8th day of Pesach. The 8th day of Pesach, the Haftorah, is this Haftorah, starting with these words, Od Hayom Benov La'amod. Because since Sancheirev's army is destroyed on Pesach, it is read on Pesach. So he gets to Nov while it's still daytime. And the Gemara says that Hashem made a nes, that he's there, he's looking at Yerushalayim, and to him, Yerushalayim looked like a hamlet. It looked like this tiny, insignificant, poorly protected city. And he said, for this, I ran all this way, I went crazy and drove everybody to speed as fast as they could to get here. For this? This is what we did? This city is so small, and that wall that surrounds the city is so insignificant. All I need to do is tell my soldiers to take, each one should take a hammer and tap on the wall, and that's enough to knock down the whole wall. That's all they have to do. So for this, I ran the whole way. You know, Faith Yado, he waved his hand, or he will wave his hand like, big deal. Har Bas Zion, Givas Yerushalayim, the mountain of Bas Zion, the hill of Yerushalayim. So what will he do? Sancheirev will say, we ran all this way for this? Forget it. Everybody, you can take a nap. Go to sleep. Tomorrow morning, we'll destroy the city. That's what he said. And those were famous last words. Because everybody went to sleep, And Hashem sent the Malach Gabriel that night, and they were all burned to a crisp. And that is the, he didn't attack on the 14th of Nisan, he waited. The stargazer said if he would have, if it attacked then he would win. But because of the Torah of Chizkiyahu, Hashem caused it that Sancheirev would see Yerushalayim as a little hamlet and would not attack. And that is why he didn't, and therefore he lost the opportunity to attack on the 14th of Nisan, and instead his whole army is destroyed on the night of Pesach on the 15th of Nisan. Yeah.
Two questions. One, does that mean the stargazers are right, that they had Nebuah, or that we should be, I mean, we're not supposed to look at the stars and do
Okay. Great question. Good.
So that's number one. And number two, if this is for the eighth day of Pesach, the people in Israel don't get this.
Right. That's true. It's true that the people of Israel don't read this Haftarah. Only we do, because in Israel, there is no eighth day of Pesach. And the seventh day of Pesach, we read from this week's parasha, from Kriyas Yamsuf, because the seventh day of Pesach is when Kriyas Yamsuf happened, and the Haftarah is the Shira of, is the Shira of David. So, it's true. We don't read this in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, we don't read it. Why don't we read it on the first day of Pesach? Because there are other things that happen on the first day of Pesach, right? So we read about Yehoshua and Yericho and the Bris Milah that took place. So we read all of that. So there's so many different things that happen on Pesach. So we don't get to it. But at any rate, but your question about what about the stargazers? It sounds from the Gemara, they were really correct that if he would have attacked on the 14th, he would have won. Hashem made it that he didn't feel like attacking. But it sounds like if he would have attacked, he would have won. So we'll get to that. Let's just finish the parak over here. Hinei ha'adon Hashem Tzvakos. Behold, the master Hashem Tzvakos, misa'eith pura b'maratza. He will use a, I think this means a saw. He will cut. Using a saw, I believe that's what that means. Do I have that right?
Chop off branches.
Okay, with an axe. Okay, thank you, with an axe. Okay, hold.
Oh, you have a saw,
okay. So he's going to cut the branches, meaning destroy this army, with a saw or with an axe. V'ramei ha'koma giduim, and the big, powerful the trees will be cut down. V'ha'gevohim yishpalu, and the tall ones will be laid low. V'nikaf sivchei hayar, Barzel, and the branches of the forest will be cut down with the iron. V'halavanon be'adir yipol, and the levanon, again, the forest, the rolling forest, will fall by the great one, by the powerful one. So these are all references to this massive army, the forest, the trees, that are going to be cut down and smashed by Hashem, who's going to destroy it. The Gemara tells us this phrase, V'halevanon ba'adir yipol, even though it is referring to Sancheirev, that Sancheirev, in other words, to his army, that his forest will be brought down, but as a double meaning, Levanon, sometimes the word Levanon refers to Yerushalayim or the Beis Hamikdash. Ba'adir yipol will fall by the hands of a great one. The Gemara tells us that Hashem does not allow, even if the Jews need to be punished, Hashem does not allow the Jews to be given over to a lowly nation or to a lowly person, because that would be degrading. That if anybody is going to conquer the Jews or conquer Yerushalayim, it's going to be a powerful nation and it's going to be a king, not a lower person. So the Gemara tells us this is why when Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of Yerushalayim in the Roman siege of Yerushalayim, and he was smuggled out, and he met with Aspasianus, with Vespasian, so who was the general in charge of laying siege to Yerushalayim. When he met him, he said, Shalom Alach Malka, Shalom Alach Malka, Shalom to you the king, Shalom to you the king. So Aspasianus responded to Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, you deserve to be killed for two reasons. First of all, I'm not the king, and therefore if you refer to me as king, that is a merida, that is a rebellion against the real king, and therefore you deserve to be killed for that. And second of all, if I am the king, what took you so long to get here to tell me? So you deserve to be killed for that too. Okay, that's right. That's what he said to him. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, I know you're the king, because the Pasuk says, V'halavanon v'adir yipol, that Yerushalayim can only fall in the hands of the Adir, of the most powerful one. Hashem would not allow you to have this kind of success in conquering Yerushalayim unless you were a king. Therefore, you must be king. Why didn't I get out until now? Because internally we have this problem that the Biryuni, the hotheads who want to fight the Romans, wouldn't let me out. They want to fight. They don't want to make peace. We really want to make peace with you. The Gemara says, as they were talking, a runner came from Rome and said to Aspasianus, get up, you need to come to Rome because the emperor has died, the Caesar has died, and they've decided to make you the king. So Aspasianus was so impressed with Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, he gave him three requests that he was allowed to do, and there because of that, certain things were taken care of, including sparing. Yavna was spared because of that, and he made three requests. So, but that's from this pasuk, v'halavanon ba'adir yipol, that he knew with conviction that this man must be king. Even though he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a Navi, he didn't know what happened in Rome, but he knew based on the pasuk that this must be the case. Now, it does seem from the Gemara that had Sancheirav attacked on the 14th of Nisan, he would have been successful. In other words, the stars were correct. And we know that the stars are correct, which means stargazing today is just fake. It's stupidity. It means nothing. But there is a real chachma. There is a real science to reading the stars. There is something out there. It is true and real. That's what mazel is. And it's real and it's there. The thing is, though, as Rashi explains in Chumash, that stargazers, they see things, but they don't necessarily know how to interpret them. In other words, they see things that are true, but they don't necessarily know what fits in with what and how to piece things together. So it's like getting six facts and now tell the story. But if you don't know which one, what's the sequence of them? Second of all, what's the connections between them? Maybe one is overturning the other. Maybe one is supporting the other. Like, you don't necessarily know how to string it all together. So maybe two of them go at the same time. Like, you don't know how to handle it. So there is interpretation that needs to be done. It's really no different than science today, than what they call science today. It's just a different type of science that you can find out real information. But if you don't know what to do with the information, you can get it wrong. And that happens all the time. So that's what happens with the stargazers. But the Gemara is saying they got this piece correct, that if Sancheirav would have attacked on the 14th, he would have won. So the way Hashem undermined him, because of the learning of Torah, they did not deserve to be destroyed. So what he did is he caused him to feel there was no point in attacking, and he waited too long, and then he was destroyed. The Arach Laner writes, why is it that had he attacked on the 14th, he would have been successful? What's the 14th of Nisan? It sounds like that date he would have been successful. So why? The Gemara says he parked in Nov, as it says in Pasuk Lamed Beis 32, Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. When it was still daytime, he got to Nov. Nov is an infamous place, because Nov is the city of the Kohanim that was killed at the command of Shaul HaMelech when he was hunting David. That was a terrible, terrible Aveira. Shaul HaMelech was a great tzaddik. This was an error that he made. And the real evil person in that whole story was Doeg HaAdomi, who lost his portion in Olam HaBa for this sin of killing out the city of Nov. But it was a terrible, terrible thing for the Jewish people that so many Kohanim were killed. And when he gets to Nov over here, the Gemara says, Od Nishtaira from Od Hayom Benov, there still was left over some retribution for that sin of Nov. In other words, that Aver of Nov, there still was some payback that was lingering, which would have given Sancheirav what he needed to capture and destroy Yerushalayim. That sin, the the kitrug, the prosecution in heaven because of that sin, would have been enough for Sancheirev to have destroyed Yerushalayim. But Hashem protected us because of the learning Torah of Chizkiyahu. So the Aruch HaNer writes, why the 14th of Nisan? So he says an unbelievable thing, really a fascinating thing. I've said this over many times. He writes that we know that Kohanim, there are 24 shifts of Kohanim. Most of the year, you don't need all the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. You need a crew of Kohanim who are working. But you don't, most of the time, you need whatever it is, depending on how many Karbanos are being brought, how many Kohanim do you need already? 100, 150, 200. I mean, there are thousands of Kohanim. You don't need them all on a regular Tuesday. You don't need all the Kohanim. On a Yontif, there's more going on, you need more Kohanim. The one day a year where you need every single able-bodied and Tahar Kohen, the one day a year is the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach. Because Erev Pesach, every single Jew has to be part of a group offering a Karban Pesach. There were thousands and thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Karbanos processed in the afternoon of Erev Pesach, in 5 hours. They processed this incredible volume of Karbanos. And so you needed every single Kohen. So says the Aruch HaNer, when Nov was killed out, there was a dearth of Kohanim. To the point where he says, it was likely that for the next number of Erev Pesachs, there weren't enough Kohanim to process all their Karbanos, and there were Jews who were unable to offer their Karban Pesach because there were not enough Kohanim to process them. So that the Jews were there with their sheep ready, and only a certain percentage of the sheep actually got processed. And many Jews were without a Karban Pesach because there was no Kohanim to do anything to do it. So he writes, it's possible that it was so bad that even as late as this point in time, there still were not enough Kohanim. And that's why the 14th of Nisan every year was the year of the Kitrug, of the prosecution of the destruction of Nov. And therefore, had Sancheirev attacked then he would have been successful. But because of the Limud Torah of Chizkiyahu, that was enough to undo that sin. And Hashem caused it that he would not attack on the 14th, and instead he was destroyed on the 15th of Nisan that night. And that's one of the great miracles that happened on Pesach.
So who is the retribution against?
Yeah, that's always a question. The Gemara is clear that even though it was Shaul who commanded Doeg to wipe out the city, but all the Jews are held accountable for it. And it was not in a vacuum, it was just Shaul. Shaul represents the people, and it would not have happened had the people also not been behaving in a way that would enable that sort of behavior.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.